For 6:30:11, it's not fun to play with assholes. Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
Kevin was just telling us about,
nose grease.
I was telling Kevin to stop getting his nose grease on the pop filter, and he was telling us about how you apparently use nose grease to fix common cooking mistakes.
Yeah. If you've burnt your food, you just rub your nose on it, and suddenly it's not burnt anymore.
It's magic.
Yeah. No, I was talking about how in photography, I spent several years of a former life being a freelance photographer, and back when I was doing photography, I used film. I don't know, this crazy digital stuff. I know. When you would print a negative, sometimes the film would have been scratched on the emulsion side, which would just leave these big white lines in the prints, and there's really nothing you could do about it. It was like a huge pain in the ass to fix like an individual print. One method, probably the one that I used the most often to fill in the scratches on the emulsion, was to actually take the negative and you actually just rub it along your nose, and more often than not, that would just fill in the crack, and it would just solve the like white line issue.
So nose grease is like magic film spackle.
Kinda, yeah.
What if it wasn't a picture of your nose?
Oh, well, I mean, I have no idea what to do then, because yeah. I mean, almost every photograph I took in my professional career was of my nose.
That was your special. That's what it said on your business card. Yeah.
So if it was a photograph of your butt,
well, yeah, your butt grease might work, I guess. Depends on how greasy your butt is.
It's pretty greasy.
Yeah.
I eat mostly WoW chips.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft chips.
Mm-hmm. I gamble them away in the Orgrimmar Casino. Mm-hmm. Are you? You were talking about a trips of the trapes.
Kevin talking about that trick reminded me of a website called, I think it's called tricksofthetrade.com. It's the guy that did Defective Yeti started it, but it's people write in all those weird, interesting, cool little tricks that they have learned over the years in their various professions. It's an entertaining read.
Like that, like getting that awful smell from like moldy sponges off your hands by rubbing them on stainless steel and stuff.
That does not work.
I had never heard
of that experience. You know what does work though? If you get the gross sponge smell on your hands, pour some baking soda on your. One of your girlfriends taught me that.
Yeah,
it's not all she taught me,
I'm sure. the stainless steel thing does work pretty well. They actually sell, I've seen now, for people who have like ceramic or plastic sinks, they actually sell things that look like a bar of soap, but they're just stainless steel.
Yeah. No, they also sell books about how vaccines give you autism.
Sounds like an excellent thing to put in a sock in case of muggers.
I mean, it's pretty lightweight, actually. It's not like solid steel.
Oh, man, speaking of putting a thing in case of people.
I mean, that's how you get more people, too. Am I right?
There was this apartment. Not the way you do it half the time.
Dang.
I'm trying to get those out of the way early so that I can not have to think about it the entire show. There was this guy in this apartment complex that was next to the house that I lived in, who got busted for manufacturing ricin, this neurotoxin.
Oh, wow.
And he had done it. He had made this white powder that was ricin that he kept. His plan was to keep it in a vial around his neck because people kept beating him up and stealing his cocaine. So he was...
Dude.
Wow.
He was exacting his revenge by carrying some stuff that looked like cocaine but was in fact deadly neurotoxin in a vial around his neck.
Wow.
How did someone get busted for making ricin? Like, how is that known?
I don't know.
That's probably must have been tipped off.
Like, I mean, when you buy
a bunch of rice,
when you buy the warehouses full of rice that you need to boil down to make it, then you know people notice.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. When you buy all those anthrax LPs to make.
So what you've been up to this past week, Zach?
Trying to synthesize AIDS in my bathtub.
Really?
Yeah, because people keep stealing my bathtubs full of blood, so I'm thinking I'll fill one with AIDS blood.
You gotta stop carrying those bathtubs full of blood around with you.
I've been working on. Sorry, no, they're breaking into my van.
Oh,
that's where they go.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, baby, you want to come back to my van? I got a bathtub full of blood. No, 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 it's not AIDS blood. It's just blood.
It's, you know, you catch more vampires than with vinegar.
It's a bloodbath, literally.
You've been woken up a bunch in the middle of the night.
I used up all of my brain being woken up in the middle of every single night to fix server problems and deal with that kind of
thing. Are you some sort of IT guy?
Yeah, I am.
He's the IT guy.
I'm a member of the IT crowd. Oh, man, remember when that show, the British show, the IT crowd, had a bunch of our shit on their screen?
Yeah.
That was pretty sweet.
Because we smeared it on the screen.
I saw a fairly recent screenshot, and they still had some stuff of ours visible.
Cool. They sent out this thing that was like, hey, nerds, send these guys some nerd shit. So
which was weird,
because
it was just a letter, and it came to our house.
Mm-hmm.
How did they know?
Every time I go to the movies and I see a commercial for... that there's some like TBS or some crime procedural called The Closer, and I remember this viral marketing campaign that they did, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, like when the show was coming out. I got a letter that was inviting me to a Johnson family reunion, and it turned out to just be this fake letter about how this person Johnson had gotten a job, and you can see all about her new job that she got on ABC's The Closer, but they just sent a letter to everyone in the country whose last name was Johnson.
Whoa.
Because it's the same last name that character has.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a cool story. Bro. No, it's just like...
sounds like you're making fun of me.
Well, no, it is cool, though. Like, I mean, it's cool that your last name is Johnson.
That isn't cool. It makes me seem like kind of a dick.
And,
Oh, man. Did you see that baseball card?
It's a neat idea to send stuff out to people randomly.
There's this baseball card on Boing Boing that was like somebody. The guy was holding a baseball bat, but on the base of the bat, he had written fuck face. And so it just went out that way. Just said fuck face on the bat. And that article linked to this other article that had a bunch of other baseball cards. And one of them was just a guy whose name was Dick Pohl, and he played for the Beavers. It must have been like a minor league baseball card, which I don't even know why you would make a minor league baseball card
if they're filled with guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's part of like the recruiting criteria for the Beavers is that, you know, it's like Rod Johnson.
How ridiculous is your name?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a roller derby team name more than a baseball team.
Who's in
team.
First? What's on second?
Sloppy Wet.
I don't know who's on third. Dick Johnson is on
in the bullpen.
Fourth.
AIDS infected.
Bloodbath.
Beavers.
Oh, Beavers.
You gotta watch
Blood Infected Bloodbath Beavers. That's a good Grindhouse movie.
Yeah, so you haven't been sleeping much.
No, and that would explain my sort of inability to focus on anything.
I see.
What have you guys been up to?
I have been working 12 to 16 hours a day past week or so.
You've been working from 12 to 16 military time.
Yeah, so just for
hours.
4 hours.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
You use military time.
Well, yeah. On my time's
madness.
Pieces, which
madness.
Is just my phone.
You never say, I'll meet you at 2000.
Nobody does. Like, that's the thing.
You would say,
yeah, but
I meet you at 2000.
I don't use military time. I use, like, European time.
I'll meet you
which
at
24 o'clock, but you still say, I'll see you at 10 o'clock, right? Like,
do you adjust for the time zones in Europe?
For inflation?
Yeah.
No.
It's actually slightly later than it was in 1970s.
Yeah.
The European dollar is strong against the... Or European minute is strong against the... That would have been a better joke if I hadn't fucked it up.
Mm-hmm.
Which explains why it takes so long to get anything done in Africa.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's a good point.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I've had a pretty boring week.
Working a lot and boring.
Yeah.
And not playing many video games, as it turns out.
I had a barbecue.
Oh, yeah. We did have a barbecue.
Oh, yeah. You had a barbecue. And I slipped through it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
It was fun. People came over.
You would have just showed up in a fedora anyway.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, gotta have that one guy in the fedora at every barbecue.
Pool party in a barbecue. Mm-hmm. No, turns out the barbecue wasn't actually, the grill wasn't actually working, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's something, instead of the gas going into the burners, it was just kind of a little flamethrower shooting out in underneath.
Sweet!
It was still hot, and it still cooked
the
food.
Yeah, fire is still, yeah.
So it wasn't like the end of the world, but it was definitely... Not optimal.
It was like when you say, oh, this prairie fire in Arizona, it's out of control. Oh, but it's still hot.
Well,
so it's okay. Don't worry, guys. Everything is okay. My hot dogs were cooked.
It's moved to New Mexico, so I think we're fine.
Oh, good.
I bought a bag of marshmallows. They're almost as big as my fist.
What?
It's crazy. I'll show them to you. Okay. I'll take a picture and
were
put
they
them
pre-microwaved
on
jumbo marshmallows?
No, they're a bag of marshmallows. For
how many
like,
are in the bag?
Two,
maybe a couple of dozen.
How big is the bag?
Yeah, it's like a pillow.
It's
like a bag of batting.
Yeah. What?
Weird.
Batting.
Stuffing.
Batting. Yeah, just batting marshmallows. Thing.
Yeah, batting is like stuffing.
Is batting what you put in the attic?
You put it in cages.
Belfry.
Yeah. A thousand of them. Thousand cages
in your belf. The thousand belfry cages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. So you've been sleeping a lot. The opposite of our problems.
I've been probably sleeping about the same. Well, okay, no, because you guys aren't. I've been sleeping a normal amount for a normal person.
Just at the
I've
wrong
just been
time.
Doing it at the wrong time.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Earlier today, there was some rain with the sun shining, which is a weird thing that you get every once in a while.
Yeah, in the desert.
It's like diamonds falling from the sky.
Oh, yeah. Trippy.
Yeah, and there's like cuts all over the road, and all the car windows are just shredded, oh. Little stripes.
Yeah, it's sad.
It sucks. There's dicks painted on each of them.
What?
There's this thing about if you draw a dick on a window, and then you use a diamond to cut the window in half, you end up with two smaller dicks.
Oh.
It's like
a hologram.
Fractal.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so that's how our week's been.
Wait, am I supposed to take a break now? God damn your agenda. Hey guys, it's totally later now. What have you been playing?
Video games. I played some...
Riff, did you forget we were doing a podcast again?
Yeah, kinda. I played a bunch of Ocarina of Time. I played... the first two or three levels, depending on how you count them, of Deus Ex.
It's not a race. We're not allowed to talk about the assignment yet, and it's not a race. Talk about Ocarina of Time.
I wasn't racing.
What have you been
doing? Just listing the things that I've been playing.
Well, just start talking about one of them.
Ocarina of Time.
You played through Ocarina of Time in its original incarnation?
No.
You did not?
This is the first time I've ever played.
Oh, wow. Okay. So how are you finding it as a modern game player?
Shadow Temple.
The Shaolin Temple.
Yes. All those bald guys. How do I find it as a modern player? I think it's very good.
Yeah.
It holds up very well. It definitely seems like all that was holding me back from playing it before was the art.
So that's really... The art being bad is enough to keep you away from playing a game.
It was enough to stop me from replaying it as fondly as I remembered it.
Wow.
Like, it was really, really bad.
Well, it's like super chunky. But
I mean, it was from that time when 3D was not there yet, but every game was using it anyway.
I don't mind old pixel art at all, but very early 3D when it's like... Chunky, like four polygon blocks.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at it anymore.
I can't look at Zach anymore.
Cool mustache, bro.
He's taken the Modulok arms and made a Modulok mustache.
I'm Raleigh Fingers.
ten
of them.
Very nice.
Sorry, I got bored with your story. Making mustaches out of it. My freshman year of college, I had this brief resurgence of purpose in my life, and the purpose that I chose was sort of getting into other people's photographs while pretending that things were a mustache.
Okay.
So I would just, like, if somebody was posing for a picture, I would run up behind them and grab some of their hair and pretend it was my mustache. Yeah, you know, like a bootleg fish cassette.
As a mustache?
Yeah, you know.
That seems like it would be more like
a
beard.
I have the lamest mustache. Pixel art rules, right?
Yeah.
I'm pixel art. Pixel art is kind of timeless, right? It's not timeless. Mm-hmm. It's timeless to us because we're fogies. I don't know. There's new pixel art games that are popular with kids, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think pixel art is like a cartoon, sort of, with some constraints, right? So it's going to work, right? You're just going to think video game when you see pixel art.
Mm-hmm.
Or mosaic. You're going to think Banksy.
Is that what you're going to think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes me so angry about the recent Final Fantasy remakes that have gone and replaced the perfectly good pixel art with these crappy blocks.
Yeah, the DS was another platform on which the 3D was not good enough to use.
Yeah.
Like, I enjoyed... So this is another, like, Phantom Hourglass, I will never fucking play that again. Like, it was awful the first time to look at and to move around with the goddamn stylus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, never playing that again. Like, I know, I will probably play A Link to the Past again in my life, but no fucking way am I playing one of the DS ones again. Whereas Castlevania games on the DS, fuck yeah, pixels.
Yep.
You're liking it, though? You're having fun? You've played it a lot more than I have in this period of time.
Yeah. I think after I beat the boss of the temple I'm in, I've got 2 or maybe 3 more to go.
Mm.
This game makes me want to get a 3DS, and I don't know if I'm going to have the resolve to just wait till the next gen hardware.
Just borrow one of ours and play it.
I mean, from what I've heard, a next gen is not going to be coming for a long time.
Well, that's what they say, but
I mean, yeah, it's going to be a year or two.
I mean, how long is a long time to us? We're old as shit.
A long time compared to previous DS generations.
Okay. Anyway, borrow it and play it, right? There's going to be fuck all else to play on it. We're not going to be using it once we're done with this. Well, Paper Mario. When does Paper Mario come out?
I don't know.
It's supposed to be this year, this summer, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it's this summer at some point. I wonder if they'll have anything cool on display at... I wonder if they're going to make...
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to make a... at Comic-Con. I wonder if they're going to make a Castlevania game for this that isn't some 3D bullshit.
I'd be okay if it's 3D so long as it's still pixel art.
I think it's
They could do, like, the awesome parallax backgrounds and shit.
It's pretty clever that they are reselling the same game with just, like, a facelift, right? Like, they're...
In which case?
Ocarina of Time?
It's almost not the same game.
Okay.
Well,
I mean, do you think that they...
The interface... It's more than just the graphics, because it's also the vastly improved
Redid the interface.
But do you think that they took the same code and just improved it, or do you think they started from scratch?
I don't think they started from scratch. It's
probably...
The art assets.
I wonder if they'll remake Majora's Mask, because the original Majora's Mask reused a lot of the art assets. Most of Majora's Mask art was reused art assets from Ocarina.
I have a feeling that I would still hate it if they did.
Hmm.
That's weird. Majora's Mask came out, and I was like, oh, man, a new Zelda game that I've never heard anything about. And then I played it for a while, and I was like, Jesus
Christ. And the reason you've never heard about it was because people just didn't care.
It was weird. It was like a bold departure.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of those...
Miyamoto even...
Some people love them, and some people hate it.
Did Miyamoto design it? Is it...
I don't know.
I don't remember if that was even like...
Was it actually some other game in Japan, and it was just reskinned as a Zelda game?
It was called Dookie Dookie Panic. It was about people freaking out because the store was out of Green Day records. What else, Riff? What else have you been playing?
Played some Minecraft. I played the guys that did Game Dev Story,
mm-hmm.
or did a new one about managing a school, and I played that for about 12 seconds before I decided it was too complicated for me.
Like, is that and Game Dev Story just like a complicated lemonade stand kind of thing? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it fun?
I enjoyed the shit out of Game Dev Story for the first couple days in which I played it totally nonstop, and then I've never gone back to it. But it was also like $3, so I don't feel like I need to go back to it.
I just, because like having played some of the, you know, lemonade stand type games, I just kind of... It was definitely something that I was like, oh, I'll figure this out for a few minutes, and then I was like, yeah, I'm kind of bored.
I don't know. I mean, we're game developers, so...
Well,
it
sure.
It was like playing a game where you're me.
Sure.
And it's like, who do you yell at today? And I'm like, I don't know!
The guy who's on fire.
All I do is yell at everybody all the time, and I don't want to pick who I have to yell at in a video game. Like, I'm trying to think of a joke about a game about yelling, but I can't.
Space Scream.
Yeah. Star Scream.
2000.
It's a callback.
Yeah, 2000 is always funny to, you know, and 2K11.
What about you, Zach? What have you been playing?
You haven't been playing anything. You played The Assignment and yeah, you're going to talk about something next. I also have that on my list to talk about, but I'm going to let you do it. So today I finally got like an hour with Glitch.
Because
their beta servers came back up. Did we sign an NDA? Like, was there a EULA that says we can't talk about it? I'm suddenly
not that I
nervous
noticed.
About that. I don't know
if there was, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I don't think that you not... If you didn't physically sign something, I don't think there's anything that's binding.
Oh, I'm not concerned about getting in trouble. I'm concerned about doing something that they don't want me to do.
I see.
Right? But, I mean, this was like a super public-y beta. I don't know. Yeah. It's a, you know, we didn't get this because we're anybody. We got this because we put our email address
on. Yeah, I mean, we heard about it because Tobold was talking about it, so...
Anyway, upon actually playing it, it is, like, basically reskinned Game Never Ending. Huh. Like... You have objects which you have
sandwich
certain
never ending.
You have objects which have certain verbs that you can perform on them. You have things in the world that have certain verbs that you can perform on them, and then you have the results of those which are making some numbers bigger and some numbers smaller, or giving you items which in turn have verbs you can perform on them. I wish there was some shit to kill. I guess
so. You wish that kill was one of the verbs.
I would even be okay with no shit to kill if there was
some sort of goal,
a goal or a story that I was advancing, or something that I could see that. If the time I was spending was meaningful.
If every level removed one article of clothing from a cardboard cutout of the new owner of the Cleveland Indians.
I don't know who that is.
That's part of the plot of the movie Minor League.
Oh, okay.
Major League.
Oh, right. Okay.
Major League, not Minor League. That was a really good movie. It had Pedro Serrano.
Hats for bats.
Yeah, hats for bats. Keep bats warm.
Classic.
Gracias. One of the finest lines from American cinema. It's right up there with Hail to the Chief. He's the one we all say hail to. Yeah. We all say hail because he keeps himself so clean.
Piece of Red Rock candy, but it's not for eating. It's for looking through.
No.
Your turn. What's your movie line?
Oh, my movie line?
Yeah. I watched this YouTube video that was just the swears. Pulp Fiction.
Yes,
just the
that's
swears.
A great one.
It's a
yeah.
great video.
How long is it?
Two and a half hours.
Same length as Pulp yeah. Fiction.
You can massage butterflies and then milk them. And if you look at the description on the butterfly milk, it says something about being filled with the lightness and effervescence of 1,000 butterfly farts. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're, like, it seems like their art assets are definitely final, but I don't know if the writing is. I mean, that's funny, I guess.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I laughed out loud. I lolled when I saw that the first time.
Speaking of bullshit on the phone, I've also been I've been playing for a few days here and there this thing that is basically Farmville.
Oh yeah,
but it's called Tiny Tower. Came out recently and was like well reviewed on Touch Arcade. But it is very much just like a almost no decisions involved simulation of like a little a tower where you build an apartment on this floor, and then five dudes move in, and they have stats. And
oh, is it based on the old Sim Tower or Utes Tower?
Maybe. Utes Tower. It's the tower where the Utes live.
Yeah. The Utes, you know.
See?
Yeah.
This is like a movie show. We should do movies, hot dog. Benson gets high and talks about movies, hot dog.
That'd be fun. I would totally do a movies, hot dog.
Get high and talk about movies, hot dog.
We could do it high or not.
I don't watch enough movies. You do nothing but watch movies.
I like to watch movies.
So Tiny Tower, you then have these dudes with stats and a name, and then you can
do you
give
think
them
they
jobs.
Wanted to make Tiny Town, but it was already taken, so they're like...
The Tiny Toon Adventures.
What comes right before that in the dictionary?
So it's like cute pixel art, which goes a long way towards making it seem cool.
Okay.
It's very elaborate pixel art in like the rooms and stuff. I mean, it's neat. It's like it's got a very pleasing visual aesthetic to it.
Sure.
You open a store on a floor, and then there's like you can give three dudes jobs on the floor, and then the more people that are employed there, the more options are available up to three like products that they sell there, each of which you hit a button to restock. It says, all right, this will be ready in a half an hour or whatever.
Oh, God.
And then you come back.
Real
and,
time?
Yeah. And then you hit a button to stock it. Once they've gotten it, you have to hit a button to actually let them start selling it, and then other dudes will come in the building and
so you could just advance the clock on the phone.
You could, I guess, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it checks in with the server or something. Anyway, and then if you want to sit and play it, you can. If you want to actually sit and do stuff, because like dudes will show up and get in the elevator and they will say, I want to go to floor X. And then you hit the up button and you drop them off at that floor and then you get some money and then maybe they buy something from there.
Wait,
sometimes somebody will show up.
You become an elevator,
you're an elevator operator?
Operator.
Yeah. You're a civic planner. You're a building skyscraperer.
Yeah. This is not sounding cool so far.
It's not cool. It's not cool. And I wish I could stop. I wish I had stopped already.
Huh. Okay.
you know, I wanted to see, I'm like, all right, so this is a free-to-play game where you can speed things up and you can do handfuls of upgrade-y type things with this alternate currency in addition to the, like, coins that you get by selling milkshakes and shit in your store. You get some of that over time. Like, if you play every once in a while, you take somebody on a ride on the elevator and they'll tip you one of those. So, like, it's fairly easy to get those in quantity. It just takes a while. But I wanted to see, like, all right, what's the gameplay of this like if you don't give them any money? Right, and pretty much do everything.
Huh.
You can get, like, the most expensive thing I've seen with that currency is like a faster elevator. So you can get people to their destinations faster, which I think as your tower gets to be 100 stories tall,
becomes more of a deal. Sure. Yeah.
But you don't ever have to do it. Every once in a while, a dude will show up that if, like, you take him to a certain floor, he'll speed up the construction, or he'll immediately deliver whatever they're waiting for, or it's like a celebrity who will cause them to suddenly have a run on everybody comes in and wants stuff from there, or a rich person who goes in and buys all of one thing from a store. So, I mean, there is a marginal amount of gameplay there, but it is mostly just sim wait for shit.
Yeah, I'm not super psyched about that model in general, I don't think.
No. I mean, it's definitely appealing on some kind of gut level, right?
I'm sure it taps into some weird psychological hooks, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you go back in, I want to run it, and say, it'll just be like, all right, it's cool, I earned 30,000 coins, now I can afford another floor.
While you were gone.
Yeah.
If you left it for a year, would you come back and have a million things, or because everything would run out of stock?
Because everybody runs out of stock, yeah, right? Okay. So, yeah.
Which that's why they have that thing where you have to manually do it? God.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
You know what that reminds me of? Did you ever play Afterlife?
No.
It was...
It's not a screensaver?
No, it was...
It was like a SimCity, but like Heaven and Hell,
yeah, it
right?
was LucasArts. It was Sim Heaven and Hell. It was okay. It was funny. I mean, it had a lot of character, but every single building had, like, I forget what the attribute was called, but it had a thing you had to balance, and you had to... periodically you had to click every building, manually tweak the slider back towards the middle so its efficiency was balanced, and then go on to the next one, and every single building would slowly over time
catch on fire,
well, just lose efficiency and not stop being effective at their job until you went back and fucking tweaked it again. And there is a thing you could do that would adjust all the buildings for you at once, but it costs like a ton of your currency or whatever. Huh. And it eventually just made the game unplayable because you spent all your time tweaking this little knob on every single building.
Did you feel that way about like Civilization ever? Because like there was definitely
I never played a lot of Civ.
I definitely did not play Civilization that
before the advisors would do that for you or whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean, if the advisors weren't doing it for me, it just wasn't getting done because
you could definitely adjust like the level of scientists versus tax collectors versus construction workers or whatever in your city, and on a turn-by-turn basis you could do it such that you were maximizing something or other.
I think there were also some algorithms in there that would cause you to like lose the change on certain things, right? So if you were generating more production,
exactly,
that you know, you'd want to get down to use the least amount of production so you get the most research points and whatever, not go over what something cost if you only had like five. Yeah, that, fuck that.
You know, but that was definitely a feature of some of those earlier sort of management games.
That's like an accidental feature. You know, I don't think...
I mean, it was emergent, I guess. Sure, I don't think that was intentional, but because it was something that people could do, people who were being, you know, optimal or whatever would do it. And, you know, I definitely spent some time doing it and then being like, God, this is just way too tedious. And so I just stopped playing optimally. It was, you know, once you get to be like 50 or 100 cities or whatever, it was super annoying. Yeah, so I can totally see how that would be.
You know what else I picked up yesterday was World of Warcraft, because there was another content patch.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like they are having some retention problems now. Like, my understanding is that everybody's pretty much done with Cataclysm and wandering off much earlier than happened with Wrath. Because the playing dungeons in the Dungeon Finder just kind of wasn't fun. right after Cataclysm rolled because they were just way too hard. So for like a dude like me, who spent a significant amount of time in Wrath running dungeons, once they introduced the, you know, the token system and stuff, like it, they were just too hard. It was like I would go in, there'd be like an hour and a half wait to get into a dungeon, which, I mean, compare this to Vanilla WoW when it was like there was a 3 years before I ever managed to run a dungeon.
Yeah,
you know, but there's like an hour and a half wait to get in, and then it takes an hour and a half, and everybody bails after the first wipe because they're like, ah, fuck this, you're retarded and don't know what you're doing. I'm like, well, I've never run this before, maybe try being less of an asshole to me,
right?
And then I'll heal you. Also, I'm not the healer. Why are you yelling at me? Why am I doing this? But yeah, so they introduced this. This is a dubious decision. There's a couple things they did with this patch that are weird. They introduced a sort of an individualized progression-based single-player quest hub for the level cap. So it's like daily quests, but instead of reputation, you are advancing a plot that goes out over many days. By you will like earn currency by doing daily quests, and then you use that currency to like buy a building, which will then unlock other daily quests, or you know, unlock a thing where you can buy some stuff or whatever, and you're like sort of advancing the cause of this invasion into the fire dimension or whatever as you're doing it. To get to this though,
and this is whatever they call it, dimensionalized for every individual player.
Yeah, it's phased per individual player. However, it also kind of shows the chinks in that whole phasing technology when it's used as extensively as it is, because the quest hub that these daily quests are based out of isn't there unless you've done like half of the quests in the zone, in the world zone that it's in. And it's one of the zones that you don't have to do. Like, Cataclysm has the same thing that Wrath had, where there's two starting zones.
Right.
You go and you do all the quests in one of those, and then you move on to the rest of the progression to the level cap, and you've saved the other starting zone for your alts, if you're whatever. But like, I've only played one guy to the level cap at this point, and so I had to, in order to get to the new content, I had to spend a couple hours playing through stuff that, Kevin, you made the point, it was new to me, so why was it a big deal?
Yeah.
Well, because I was saving it for another character is one reason that it was a big deal.
Okay. Right?
Like, I had deliberately avoided it, so now I have to do it if I want to see this stuff that I am interested in. It seems a little weird to me that they would do it that way. Chat was full of people who were confused. How do I get to this stuff? Oh, well, you have to do this quest line that starts here. And
what's weird, like, it's weird to me that, like, so how do I get to this stuff? Like, how do you even know that this is a thing? I mean, great, so it's in the patch notes.
It's in the patch notes, right?
Right. Like, but, like, shouldn't you have... I mean, in the way that I play games, shouldn't you have finished all the quests in the game already?
You literally did every quest in Vanilla WoW.
Yeah, that I could, at least.
And in Burning Crusade. Like, every quest.
Yeah.
You looked them up. This was before low-level quests. This was before you could get low-level quests to show up on the map.
Yep. I didn't look them up. I talked to every NPC.
You talked to every NPC in the game to see if they had any quests.
Yeah.
You are fucking crazy.
Yeah,
And they shouldn't design games for people.
They shouldn't
like
let me play.
They should not let you play video games.
If you'd waited a couple of years, you would have had the achievement.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I was thinking about what kind of crazy shit would happen if I reactivated my WoW account and logged into my player, or my character, right? Because like, I'd stopped playing before there were achievements, before they changed all kinds of crazy shit.
See how long the string of pings turns out to be.
And you said something which...
String of pings.
You know, granted I haven't played in a couple of years, but kind of took me by surprise, which was they got rid of the key ring in World of Warcraft. Like, that doesn't seem like a forward step even a little tiny bit.
Yeah, I was just looking up the... So they did. Like, so for those of you who haven't played World of Warcraft, a while back...
Let's start even further back. So there were certain places, dungeons, a couple of quests, whatever, that required a key to get entry, like a physical virtual key that would take up a spot in your inventory, and somebody in a group would have to have it in order to open certain doors in the world, often at the end of like quest chains to get these keys.
And in one of the early patches, they created a separate section of the inventory that was designed that was without limit, and any item that was a key would go into this section of inventory, and it was just a bag that stretched out to fit stuff.
Yeah, and it was super friendly and like just very appreciated by people.
It was added before the first expansion even came out. So,
but just before
they took it away in this, and whatever doesn't.
So, but they just dumped the keys into people's inventories, which like, what happened to people who had full inventories?
The thing that bothers me about this, and the thing that I think that reasonably bothers players about this, is the absolute horseshit explanation that was posted on their forums. That is like, sometimes it upsets me when companies give just such like calculated information-free PR responses to things that it would literally be better. You would literally know more if they had said nothing. And
do you have an example of what they might have said?
Well, I've got this. I've got this thing. Let's see. I don't want to read the whole thing, right?
Just the juicy bits.
Yeah, so they talk about World of Warcraft has evolved quite a bit since the day the key ring bag slot was added in patch 1.11, a convenient way of storing dungeon stuff. Back to when the largest bag was a mind-boggling 18 slots, learn to type. The key ring helped save precious bag space. But as things tend to do, time went on, bags got bigger, and designs for getting content evolved through the years. Here they don't serve much of a purpose except to take up physical storage space from the game, which could be used for other awesome stuff, and visual interface space on yours. Because of this, we've decided to get rid of the keyring in order to free up some user interface space for exciting new features. It was literally 10 by 30 pixels. so that's a justification that is so easy to pick apart that they, I think, should not have said it. It just dumped all of the keys into inventory. Yeah. Everything that was in that bag and wasn't like useless. Any key that you could still use for something just got dumped into your inventory. If you didn't have the space, it put it into something called a backlog inventory, which is apparently a thing that exists. They've apparently got a feature for, maybe it's the fucking key ring. Maybe that's where it was, and it just won't let you do anything until you get the shit out of your key ring because it's not a key ring anymore. It's weird, man.
So stuff that should have gone into your inventory, but you don't have any room for it, goes into a backlog inventory?
Huh. Yep.
Huh. Fascinating.
It reminds me of how, for a while in Minecraft, there was a non-existent inventory space, and it was possible if you... I want to say, like, if you picked a thing up wrong, but it's not like you actually did anything wrong. It's like if your game hiccuped while you were picking up a block of thing that you didn't already have a stack of that in your inventory, there's a possibility of it going into this non-existent inventory space, and so you just couldn't access it. And if you got any more of that, it would go into that stack that didn't exist. And the only way to get it back was to kill yourself so that all your inventory sprayed out on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah. I used to refer to it as the asshole slot, as accidentally put all my stone up my butthole, and now I can't access it.
Yeah, if you did that with something important, that would be really frustrating, because you'd have to get a stack of 64 of it before you could move on to the next stack.
Yep.
Huh.
There has to have been a real reason that they did.
Yeah, I'm curious what it was.
And it just makes me angry that they would give a reason that just doesn't make any sense.
Because they could have made it as small as they wanted to, or put it on, they take that button and they put it on some secondary menu somewhere.
And I can't imagine that the key ring was taking so much server resources or whatever they were claiming there. That
super
was
confusing to me.
I mean, it's Blizzard.
maybe they're planning on making keys that are 2x2 squares now.
Well, so it's not
to get more inventory space.
It is not inconceivable that so they've talked about, like, why can't you make the backpack bigger? You guys have all the money in the world. All you have to do is buy server. But that's not necessarily that straightforward, right? Like these large scale engineering problems with servers are not necessarily things that you can just throw money at to make them better, right? Like,
True. It could really be... Is the argument... Wait. So, like, the 16-slot bag that is your backpack, people are asking, like, why can't you make that bigger?
And they say it's not technically easy to do so, right? And I have no reason not to believe them on that.
Weird. I would have...
Because
just,
who knows how the character...
I would just assume that was just a design decision, that the first time you play the game and you open up your inventory, it's a very manageable 4x4 grid that is everything.
Oh, right,
that you
but
can
why
hold.
Can't you upgrade it? Is what they're saying. Oh, I mean, they can keep making bigger and bigger I bags, see. But why can't you? That's the one that's stuck at 16.
Sure. I mean, that might just be a data structure that they've got right. that's in a particular format.
Yeah, that's what I'm suggesting. And I mean, I you know, see. maybe something was going
on the back
similar
end,
on the back end with the key rings that made it so it was costing them an extra 10 cents a player to have this key ring involved. And they also say, well, we shouldn't design things that need this anyway, right? Keys should be like something that's a part of your character as opposed to a thing that's an actual item, right?
Yes, they shall become tattoos.
No reason for the key to be an item anymore. But in,
I so
in
don't
it,
agree with that. I mean, keys are such a,
they're awesome.
A verisimilitude object.
Yeah, I spent many, many hours collecting every key in the game. And
I remember being kind of
annoyed because the Alliance had a key that the Horde did not have, and I was like, my key collection can't be complete because I have a Horde character.
It didn't go that far, but I did make a point of getting all the keys I could reasonably solo.
Yeah.
There was a joust minigame.
The game with those ostriches, you'd ride ostriches around
and you get onto this thing and then you're fighting dudes on buzzards. And you just have to run into them, but it's really difficult to control. That's where the challenge comes into play. And there's an egg wave.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was pretty funny, actually. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
There's an egg wave?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I approve of that.
I don't think that's even new, though. I think this was part of the... That's the thing. I don't know if the content that I've played through in the last three or 4 hours
included.
That I played was included. Was stuff that was there with Cataclysm or stuff that came out in this patch.
I'm surprised that you had just like left an entire zone of quests unattempted.
I can't keep doing quests after I'm not getting experience for them anymore.
Wow.
I just can't do it.
Huh.
I started going through. I'm like, I want to see what the, you know, I'll finish the zone that I'm on. I'll like tie up any loose story ends to see, but like, I just can't work up the enthusiasm if I'm not getting meaningful rewards for it. I don't know what it is. I think I
was always fine with doing gray quests because it meant I got to like crush some guys like really easily.
Yeah, but these aren't gray, right?
Sometimes.
I mean, these are like, these are quests that are level 80 when I'm level 85.
Green.
Yeah, they're green. I mean,
and you don't get experience for it because you're at the level cap, not because.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I see.
You know, I mean, you get reputation. So if I was going to do the rep grinds, right? If there were lower scale rep grinds that didn't involve running hundreds of dungeons that I'm never going to run, you know.
Them giving you so many little progress bars to fill up was definitely something that occupied a lot of my time when I played World of Warcraft.
But a progress bar that takes... A progress bar that you fill up by doing something 10,000 times is a thing that is going to turn me off. Whereas a progress... Like, 10 progress bars that you fill up by doing something 1,000 times, that's great, and I will fill up all of those.
Huh.
Right? But...
So that's a weird distinction.
Grinding rep to exalted with any faction was just not a thing I was interested in doing.
Yeah. I mean, I did it for stuff... That was totally inconsequential.
Oh, I know.
Timber Maw. Oh, God.
You got some cool shit for it.
Yeah, I mean, it was super neat, and I appreciated it. And it was almost all just flavor, but it was, you know.
I mean, the flavor's the coolest stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
What have you been playing, Kevin?
This week has been filled with work on a video game that is in closed beta. And so I've been playing a lot of the closed beta of Word Realms. Which is pretty fucking fun, in my opinion.
That's a video game we made.
Yeah, well, we're making. It's definitely still not done. There's definitely a bunch of, like, stuff that's placeholder and some, like, stuff that we want to add to it or whatever. But, like, it's enjoyable. It's so... for those of you who haven't played it, which is almost everybody, it's a role-playing game that uses sort of Scrabble-esque... combat.
It's Bookworm Adventures.
It's Bookworm Adventures, yeah. But funnier and, like, better, more interesting sort of character progression and...
Story and dialogue and trees and cutscenes.
I don't know. Bookworm Adventures was pretty funny. One time he said, yikes!
Yeah. Cool, like, cool, like, art and cool...
It's Bookworm
quests.
Adventures of Warcraft.
There's, like, you know, a couple puzzles here and there. There's a lot of, like, mini games that I don't think were in Bookworm Adventures and stuff.
No, there were mini games in Bookworm Adventures. In fact, the way that I know that is that all of our mini games are ripped off from the mini games in Bookworm
Adventures.
No, not really.
Do the skeletons in Word Realms drop a sweet sword?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Cool. Okay.
Just you can kill a skeleton by yelling words at it, and it will drop a sweet sword.
Yep.
It's actually kind of a shitty rusty sword, but it looks sweet. It tastes sweet.
We were thinking it's that
dipped in antifreeze.
At some point in the next couple of weeks, we might have some sort of contest on this here podcast for some spots in the closed beta.
Yeah. So you guys want to know what we do for a living, right?
Yeah. So if that's something that people are interested in, they should let us know, and then we will figure out what we're going to do.
Yeah, post it in the forums, accessible via a link from videogameshotdog.com.
Yeah. So that's anyway, that's what people have been playing.
That is what we have in fact been playing.
Yep.
So guys, what's going on with the world?
Minecraft.
Stu's stories, video game.
Riff, you said that there was some sort of crazy Minecraft news? Update.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow, probably. Possibly tonight. I don't know when it's tomorrow in Sweden.
Oh, the Pistons thing? So you can make secret doors and shit?
Yeah, yep.
Is that the only thing that they're including, or is it...
They're including shears.
Yeah.
So you can cut leaves off of trees and have placeable leaf blocks.
That sounds cool.
And you can
defuse. You made a really sweet
dynamite.
Hedge maze. That would be way
obsolete.
Which, you know, I have no problem with.
Yeah, I mean, it's beta. That
as
kind
a,
of thing happens.
If I had been willing to cheat and just been given a bunch of leaf blocks, I could have done it that way, but it was much more interesting as a challenge to build it out of trees and then cut down the trees.
That was nuts. That was a crazy thing you did.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time growing a lot of trees in the early Minecraft world.
That was before bone meal was a thing, too.
Yeah.
They've only made it easier.
Yeah, which is fine. You know, it's a cool testament to things that are a year old or 2 years old or whatever at this point.
Sure.
Did you guys hear about the Supreme Court case that happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said stop trying to force people to not sell video games to minors.
So that in and of itself wasn't all that interesting to me. The justices that dissented from the decision was the stuff that was more interesting to me, honestly. Because they dissented for two different reasons. And one of them was one of them made the argument, why is it okay that we don't allow minors to buy nudie magazines? Mm-hmm. And yet we're going to let them buy violent video games. Like, why is sex more taboo than violence?
Okay.
And so that's just sort of a societal like value kind of thing.
And that was Clarence Thomas, so I can understand why he'd be like, "What the fuck, you guys?"
And then the other one was kids don't have freedom of speech.
Oh.
That was there is a significant body of like law maybe or like sort of scholarship on the Constitution that says that kids are
but
under the rule of their parents until they are not minors.
But that would be like kids making video games.
Yeah.
No, that would be what kids can consume or not.
So the state,
what they're saying is the state should be able to, just like parents can tell a kid what to do or not.
It's a First Amendment issue on buying the video. I thought the issue was the First Amendment.
It was
on
the decision. The decision was that the First Amendment, like that was brought up in the decision as like why they should be allowed to say whatever they want with video games, mm-hmm. and sell them or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet one of the dissenting things was, but we tell kids what they can and can't consume all the time anyway, so like they don't have equal access to the First Amendment. You know, if a parent says you can't, you know, read this book, you know, a kid, you're not, the parent
isn't
going
to have a legal right to do it.
Yeah, the parent isn't going to be thrown in jail for preventing a kid from reading a book. Why can't the state also, you know, have that sort of leverage over kids? Which those were just two interesting arguments that I hadn't thought
I
about,
mean,
right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, when is the last time that a governing body made a legitimate determination of whether or not something was obscene, right? Like, and changed the definition such that, like,
I don't know what pornography is, but I know when I see it or whatever.
I don't know how, you know, that's the thing, right? Like, and maybe they just don't want to get into that.
Yeah.
Right?
The pornography thing was by far the most interesting thing to me. Like, I think we are so uptight about pornography and not uptight enough about violence, mm-hmm. but I don't...
Things are so much better in Europe.
No, it's not so much that. It's just weird. It's just, like, Violence should be
with a caricature of Shakespeare's face.
Violence should be more distasteful to us than nudity or sex, right? Like that should just be the way it is. And the fact that isn't the way it is strange.
Do you think that it is more distasteful to anyone? I don't think it is. I think people are just like.
What?
I don't think that anyone finds sex more distasteful than violence.
Okay, but why then do we prevent kids from buying Playboy and not from buying some just sort like incredibly violent video game or watching an incredibly violent movie?
Well,
right, like the things that get R ratings, NC-17 is only for like just graphic sexual content,
right?
And not for
I'm not saying that it makes sense, but I'm saying it's not because people find sex distasteful and they don't find violence distasteful. I think people are more likely to get their panties in a twist about their panties than
about twisting.
Than twisting, yeah. Like,
huh. It just doesn't make sense to me, right? Like and maybe that's just my particular worldview. It's just strange.
It is the people who are going to crusade against things are maybe, you know, lonely people, and you know, nobody's lonely because they don't have enough violence in their lives, right? I mean, all you have to do is just go out and get beaten up for your cocaine, and then it's like, hey, I have friends. Bye, guys. I'll see you next week.
It's just interesting. This was maybe the first Supreme Court case involving video games, and I'm wondering how much it's going to...
Oh, and there was Pac-Man versus Blinky.
That's true. Man, that power pellet custody. Just super annoying. Did you guys hear about the crazy botnet that has been around for a couple of months now?
No.
It's called TDL4. It's
Is it a George Lucas botnet?
It isn't. That would be a different one. The clone net. This one apparently is infected like 4.5 million PCs and is nigh impossible to remove from a system. It basically like overwrites the master boot record of the sector zero on the hard drive. The master control program. And then uses like crazy peer-to-peer like messaging to like actually distribute commands and stuff like that. It sounds like it's these botnet writers are getting like crazy sophisticated in how they
still not sophisticated enough to infect a Linux machine.
I mean, Linux might be its own botnet for all we know.
Yeah,
it's just kind of crazy what the how these hackers are getting intense.
Someday, as we're all licking the boots of Lord Torvalds.
Yep.
Yeah. EVE Online, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know that we know enough to have an informed discussion about this.
People are talking about the player base rioting. You were saying that they were a bunch of people were like deliberately gathering in such numbers
in the in the central system
and stop like new players from being able to.
That is my understanding.
So basically, like the goons were doing Urban Dead.
Yeah, I mean, like. At that point, it is impossible for me to have any sympathy.
Yeah.
But like, if they're actually doing that, at this point, it is impossible for me to have any sympathy for the players. It is difficult for me as a person who's normally on the other side of that coin
for people who are on strike
in general. No, I don't.
Okay.
Go get another fucking job if your job is bad. Like this is not a conversation for this show, but I'm like, I am just like super anti-union on sort of like rational grounds, right?
Like. Unions in situations where they were like company towns made a lot of sense to me, right? Because you were effectively isolated from the world and the company kind of became your world.
Right, and they would murder you if you tried to leave.
And if they took, well...
Oh, no, wait, you could go somewhere else and get another job.
Well, or you couldn't afford to go somewhere else because you owed the company something, and if you tried to leave, they would... You know, follow you or whatever, right?
Sure. Like, I mean, companies are evil. They take advantage of people. Mm-hmm. And so we should, people need to be protected from that. So let's let them organize to protect themselves for fucking whatever. These guys are pricks.
The players.
The players who are responding to a thing that hasn't even happened yet, right? This is essentially...
Some of them traveled like, back from the future. Told them about how bad shit was
going to
be.
I don't like what you did in the recent content patch, so me and my friends are going to distribute a denial of service attack your servers. Like, fuck you guys. You guys don't deserve to play video games. You deserve to get punched in the dick and have your computer thrown down a well, because fuck you.
Thrown down a well?
Yeah.
But is that,
yeah, no,
is
the,
that,
the whole Earth electronic link.
Is that to get the computer wet, or is it to get it really far away from the person who is using
it? It's to ruin it. That's the best way to ruin it and poison the well.
Oh.
Because I'm assuming you live in a town full of Jews.
Filled with cadmium.
Jews aren't allowed to drink computer?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't kill them, but they just go to hell because they were like, oh, that water wasn't kosher.
The computer was not properly killed.
It depends on whether or not the computer was turned on the Sabbath.
Oh, if you turned it on before you threw it in the well, it was fine. Oh, man. This got messy. No, but seriously, like, this is why I don't like the idea of a game in which the players can have a real impact on the way that the game works.
Because
at that point, like,
step away from unions and step away from players. What about protests against the WTO?
What?
Protests against the WTO, World Trade Organization. Like this, you know, at the end of last century or whatever, in Seattle or whatever, like that was like the first large scale protest in the U.S. at least. Is that something that's a reasonable thing?
People, I don't know. Do you think that most of the people there knew or cared about what was going on, or was it?
I don't know.
Was it a free Rodney King?
I don't know.
You know, like
it wasn't. A lot of it wasn't violent. You know, it was just people protesting in the streets
in Vancouver.
And there were, you know, a handful of people that, you know, broke some stuff. But like in general, it was just trying to demonstrate disapproval of a particular thing by massing in a particular place to disrupt normal functioning so that they would get attention, right?
So I feel like that's a similar mindset. A critical feature of the real world that differentiates doing this kind of thing in the real world from doing it on the internet, which is that the real world is the real world and you actually have to be there looking people in the eyes. If the internet didn't just turn everyone into assholes
because of the anonymity,
then I'd be okay with the internet being everything that's okay in the real world is okay in the internet, right? But it's not. Like, right, you so part of me is like, well, okay, this is a free market, right? If they make a decision that is so bad that it makes their customers literally just burn their shit down and puts them out of business, then maybe they deserve to go out of business. But I don't think that that's what's going on.
Like Little Debbie when they added the razor blades to the cupcakes.
Mm-hmm.
I think them getting put out of business for that was probably a good idea.
They I don't know about this, man.
It's interesting because I feel like
they haven't even actually done anything.
CCP is really interested in maintaining a good player community and in the economics, and for them to even have discussed something that has raised so much ire is interesting that they were willing to do that.
Except that everything raises ire.
That's not true.
It is.
I think that this also, this has become an extreme example of this because of the sort of game that EVE Online is.
So much of it is player driven.
Yeah, once you get to this level of play in EVE, it's all player versus player intrigue and fucking over each other outside of the game in order to gain your advantage inside of the game. And so the people who stick with it this long are the sort of people who are going to play dirty pool.
Huh.
So I don't think you would get this kind of reaction in World of Warcraft, say.
Or a Hello Kitty online adventure.
You couldn't possibly organize enough people in World of Warcraft to do it that way, right? I mean, I think the average EVE player is probably significantly smarter than the average World of Warcraft player and has way more free time and is way more of an asshole.
Hmm. Do you think the ability to use spreadsheets necessarily indicates intelligence?
Yeah. I don't know. It's frustrating to me that, like, they want to do something to, like, evolve a product that they have that's fucking theirs. It is theirs. It belongs to them. They are the people that made it.
Okay.
They are the people that get to make decisions about it.
Is a company that is publicly traded on the stock market, is it owned by the shareholders, or is it owned by the, like, people who are actually doing the work?
I don't know. Is CCP on the stock market?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is all of their money comes from subscribers, right? Like, so while yes, they are the ones who are making the decisions and driving the game, but
if an artist does it, are you
beholden to the people that are your customers?
If an artist does it, they're an asshole sellout. If a video game company doesn't do it, they're asshole sellouts. That doesn't make any fucking sense.
What do you mean doesn't
do
it?
So if an artist capitulates entirely to the demands of its public, who, like a fucking band, the public doesn't fucking know what, the public does not know what they want. They want an album that sounds exactly like last year's album.
Well, I was
going
to say, the public tends to want more of the same.
Right.
They tend to latch onto things that they like and then want more of
that. Which is not what advances human culture. Right? Like,
okay.
what they want is more of the thing that they did not know that they wanted before you, because you are a fucking person who is really doing stuff in the world, made something.
Or...
and made it available.
Probably, like, 99 out of 100 people that make something, your stuff is crap and they don't want it anyway.
Sure.
So, like...
but
you might make something that's cool, and then you might change it into something that's crap.
But when you, like Eve,
yeah,
make something that does rise up to the point where, like, you, to be beholden to the player base is going to cause you to stagnate, right?
But can't you ride that line between, like,
well,
introducing new things and also doing them in a way that tends to make people happy, you know? Like, I don't think that's impossible.
We try to do it and run on our stuff, right? And sometimes we're more successful than other times, but almost always when people say this change has ruined the game for me and I'm gonna quit, they don't fucking quit, and neither does anybody else. People just like to whine about stuff, and when they're whining about stuff takes on the form of destructive behavior that ruins other people's experiences, who aren't reading their bullshit in the forums, who aren't subscribing to their newsletter, that's when I think they've gone over the line.
You had an interesting take on this in terms of what it could actually be, which I thought would actually be kind of brilliant, which was CCP, like, releasing sort of either a fake memo or a memo just as a feeler, with the entire intention of if the reaction to this is negative,
then they invite the player council over for a little chat,
then
and
we
they
can
say,
look
hey,
like
you guys are,
ultra
you guys
good
are
guys.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna change our mind.
Yeah,
because I mean, look at all the ill will Blizzard got over that real ID thing, and then when people started leaking personal details, you know, and who knows, you know, this is coming up, and like the blogosphere is like, no, this is the players affecting real change. What I wish people would do is.
Players or developers?
Players.
Or,
what I wish players would do is affect change by fucking quitting.
Instead of just saying that they're going
to
quit?
Instead of saying that they're going to quit and then just hanging around to throw shit at everybody else who's trying to enjoy the thing.
I mean, so I think they do that in a lot of situations, right? Like, there are tons of games that...
I think people who post,
like,
on the forum that they're going to quit
and
because of this.
Go down because people actually do quit. They stop subscribing or playing or whatever, right? Like, so there's plenty of games that are really bad.
I think for every person that rage quits a video game because of a feature that gets added, there are 1,000 people who quit playing it because they get bored, and that's what happens with video games.
Right.
Right? It's not... there is not some straw that breaks the camel's back and you have to quit playing this game. Nobody quits playing because of that. If you're passionate enough to make this post on the forum, you're not going
to
quit.
Sure.
You're not going to do it. And so this is the thing. It's like, I feel like people like that being able to go in and just ruin the experience for other players who don't give a fuck, right? Other players of Eve who don't care about this cash shop shit. Because here's the other issue with this. What does it mean for Eve to have a cash shop? There is direct transferability between their cash shop currency and their regular currency and real money, and there always has been, and that's what makes
only
their economy
in one direction.
That's what makes their economy interesting, right, and vibrant. So selling stuff for this is equivalent to selling it for in-game currency.
Sure.
Which, fucking whatever.
Sure.
Why is that a big deal?
Sure.
Like, it's, you know, it's a big deal because, like, oh, we're greedy assholes. We can't trust them anymore because they're greedy. They're greedy. They're a corporation. They're rich. We don't trust them. We don't trust them. Let's go burn their house down. Because they're the mobs of Nixon poor.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go solve some puzzles, kids.
All right.
Hey, guys. How was your puzzle break?
Well, I didn't do the Master Theorem, but I downloaded Puzzle Agent 2.
Ooh.
That's like the Master Theorem, only not a website.
Yeah, true.
Well, I'm sure puzzleagent2.com is a website.
Oh, it might be.
Maybe. I mean, you can get it off telltale.com, I'm sure.
Mm. I should play Puzzle Agent 1 so that I can... No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to treat this like every other Telltale product, which is I'm going to be like, ah, I'll buy Puzzle Agent 2 as soon as I finish Puzzle Agent 1, and then I'll die.
Which will be never.
Without ever finishing.
Are you going to insult the people who made the game? Because that's also a feature of... Oh, your interactions with Telltale.
Yeah, that was the one time I met Dave Grossman at a convention. I was like, hey, this was weird. He, like, got up on a thing. He, like, stood on this brick planter next to me. Because he was, like,
he's relatively short
at eye level
compared to you.
He was, like, a short dude. It was, like, in the middle of the conversation. He's like, wait a second. And he just, like, stepped up onto this thing that was next to him. It's weird. And then I just, I was like just sitting there telling him what I didn't like about each Telltale game. And
oh my
like,
God.
Cool. And then I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Yeah. Why can't I, like, this is a guy who I respect deeply and like genuinely like his work. And it's like, I'm like suddenly like,
just
it's like
criticizing
like,
everyone.
Oh, I'm talking shop. I mean, this is the way that I would talk to you, Kevin, about some shit that I didn't like about the stuff that we were making in a way that was like meant to be constructive and like analyzing like what does this say about it? What does this say about us? Like, you know, but I forgot that
he was a stranger.
You can't do that with strangers, right? It's like, oh yeah, your shit is terrible.
Yeah.
I'm like, how would I feel if somebody did that to me? And I'm like, well,
people do that to you all the time,
people
but it doesn't make you feel good. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. It doesn't. Especially when they're like 2 feet taller than me. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, why is like, this 8 foot tall dude like yelling at me about this game?
Shit is crazy. Anyway, sorry, Mr. Grossman.
So, this week's assignment.
Yeah. Dave, you know, this week's assignment, the one time I managed to talk to a game designer that I liked and not insult his stuff, boy, would I now. If I had that conversation to do over again, I would be like, don't release Epic Mickey, you fucking asshole. You should fix this game. You should fix this game. Anyway, I got this cool, he gave me this cool pin that he was giving away to people.
Yeah.
It has an Epic Mickey logo, in case I ever wanted to like, hey, check out my backpack. I like shitty games.
I wonder, you know, at some point whether he was just like, okay, I'm just going to finish this because it's never going to be good.
Anyway, Deus Ex.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing this week.
It's fucking great. Exciting.
So fucking good.
So,
I like me some sneaking around and pop, pop, your head is gone.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about, because we are also doing this for 2 weeks, like the mod that we played, let's tell people how to get it and what it is.
If you're on a PC, like a man, you download it from Steam.
You can download it from Steam. You can also like buy a physical disc of it, which you can get, you know, on Amazon or some used game site, I'm sure, or whatever. So the discs are still around.
It didn't take too long to get it configured right on Steam. I had to, you know, mess with the resolution, do a few things with the, I forget what rendering engine I ended up picking because there was some stuff that got real. Trying to do it in software rendering, it got real, real stuttery and
was
messy.
The Direct3D.
Direct3D, playing it in crossover games, and I also had to, run like a line of code in the Mac system Unix terminal to allow crossover games to have control over the monitor brightness while it was.
Wait,
playing.
You allowed it to control the vertical and the horizontal?
Yeah.
Because you know you could just throw a spoon at your computer if you.
Oh.
Yeah. If even though you're sitting right in front of it.
Okay. I didn't try that.
Yeah. So if you're on a Mac, you can play it with crossover games, which you can get for like $20 if you use the discount code Dead Duck. Hmm. I don't know why.
Where'd you find that out?
On the internet.
So you just found a promotional code that was supposed to go for somebody who deserved it, and you're just
deserved it? What? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the point of that promotional code, is that everyone gets 25% off
from now on. The fact that it only costs $20 to get that and $10 to get it on Steam is going to make somebody buy this awesome game, then hell yes.
Okay.
Right? So then you can also download the game.
You can also go to this website where you can get passwords for porn sites, because they want that porn to be free, or you wouldn't be able to find that password on the internet.
On Steam, on the crossover games, you can also go to Steam and download it. I had a bunch of trouble getting it to run the first time, and then every time I want to play it, I have to start it like 5 or 10 times, which is kind of frustrating, until like half the times I start it, the mouse is stuck in the upper left-hand corner. And
it's weird. I've not had any of those sorts of problems, but I'm not I'm not using a Steam copy. I've got a...
We've got different graphics cards. We've got different... Like, yeah. There's a bunch of stuff going on that could just be making it hard on my computer. But it works, and when you get it running, it's fun. I did not like the first half hour of it.
Really?
My first half hour, not the first half hour of the game. Tutorial was fine. It was just whatever.
You know what? When I was playing the tutorial, it led me to believe that there was something wrong with the game because the textures were so ugly in the tutorial. And I don't know if there was something wrong with the game, and then I changed something in between playing the tutorial and the regular game, but man, it was like go down this puke tunnel to this diarrhea room and then shoot
stuff out of your nipples.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Think of other bodily functions.
Yeah. So you were trying to think of other disgusting things. So there was puke, diarrhea, and female breasts.
Breast milk? Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which one of those three would you eat?
Probably diarrhea.
Right. Am I right?
The tutorial I spent, and I remember this happening the first time I played the game, like 10 years ago. All right, I guess I'm walking around with no legs and no arms because.
Oh my god, that the last segment of that where you have
so
to
slow.
Get across that bridge.
Like, why didn't they just kill me?
Oh, it was hilarious because I was like, I don't know, okay, well, I'll sneak past this mech. Oh, hey, what's this crate? And just as the guy is saying to me, that is a crate of dynamite. Make sure you crouch before you drop it. I am dropping it. And it dropped it on top of two more of these crates. So they all exploded, blew off both my legs and both my arms. So I was crawling around on the floor, presumably dragging myself along with my chin.
It's weird that you can still see.
Yeah.
At, you know.
Couldn't find the...
Are you just not allowed to die in the tutorial?
Yeah, you are not.
I tried to drown myself, and it didn't work. I just ran up to the guy and let him shoot off my legs
and my arms. I was planning on restarting it and seeing, you know.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I guess I wandered
around until I found the way to get the bridge to drop and finally made it across. Had to worm my way down the museum hallway where they show you all the different characters in the game. It's like, okay, can I have some arms and legs now?
Find the hidden room in the tutorial? That's cool.
Oh man,
sweet.
Is there a hidden room in the tutorial?
There is, and it was like, oh, we wonder which of our recruits will find this room. We often find that they're the ones that like will be using stealthy tactics in the actual game.
Nice. Found it. Where was it?
It's just there's a panel that's not recessed, the opposite of recessed.
Embossed.
In that room with all the characters, and you push it, and then a wall slides open on the opposite side, and there's like another like hologram there that's like the doctor guy. Yeah, I was like, sweet.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, I have been enjoying the fuck out of finding all sorts of hidden shit in this game. Yeah.
I love it that the game, you will find something and you'll feel like, oh man, I am so clever for having found my way into this room. And then the game will be like, you are so clever. Here's 125 skill points.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, validation.
There was that sunken boat off that dock.
Yeah, I did not find that.
Which had a bunch of shit inside it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a ton of hidden shit. It's awesome.
I thought I was being thorough.
Yeah, no. If you haven't swum around the whole area, did you find the steel cage underneath the first dock where you start?
I don't think so.
So there's a ramp that goes into the water at the very first starting dock, and right next to it, in the water, is a steel cage, and that has some extra stuff in it, some crates that you can break open and get some stuff.
I've decided to play this totally non-stealth.
Really?
Just kill every dude. I figured out there's like this exploit in the system. You use a 10mm pistol to kill a guy, and he's carrying bullets.
unless he's shot at you a lot, in which case he's not.
Right. Yeah.
So you need to kill them before they shoot all their bullets.
It is interesting how like it's very systemy. It's very simulationy, right?
Yeah.
Like. Mm-hmm. You will, whatever the guy is shooting at you is what he will be carrying.
Yeah.
And there's a very, like, very, very finite, I mean, you can't be more or less finite. There's someone who's very pregnant. Very finite, like, sort of amount of resources. In the game, right? Like, only so many bullets can get shot.
Bag space.
It's like a Fallout 3 where everything is the mini nuke.
Yeah, so the first half hour, I was just getting shot a lot and being like, what the fuck? I'm, like, trying to be stealthy and stuff. And I just didn't understand, like, how stealth worked and how, like, you have to, like, actually really pay attention to where people are pathing and like, be quiet.
Sure, darkness.
Yeah, darkness and quiet are, like, really important. And so, like, just, like, figuring out the sort of the rules of the world took me a while. And then once I figured that out, and once I, like, got some extra, like, zapper ammo and stuff like that, I was like, oh, okay, this is pretty cool.
My first death was basically, beep, beep, beep. What's that thing beeping? Oh, it's a turret.
So what did you guys spend your first skill points on?
So the first time I played through the first level like three times, just trying to sort of get my legs, and then I ended up putting everything into pistol just so that I could shoot dudes in the head all the time.
Okay.
I diversified a lot more. I took like rifle and lockpick and I think computer.
I did one level of lockpick and one level of hacking. So
I did the very, like, before the tutorial was done, I did two levels of hacking. Because that was the only skill where you got additional capabilities.
Yeah, instead of it just making things faster, it actually unlocked things that you didn't used to be able to do.
Yeah,
I took one level of that so that I could get money out of ATMs.
Right.
Which seems like a...
I upgraded swimming.
Right, because you're going to spend all of your time swimming.
Yeah.
That seems like a bad guy thing to do. Just stealing money from people.
Do you not at least in this early part in the plot, it seems like you're a bad guy.
Well, because we don't know yet, but it definitely seems like you're a pawn for a bad.
Yeah. Allegiance has shifted a number of times.
I'm sure
the
they do.
Cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah, don't get too comfy in your office.
Man, oh,
can I get back there?
You're keeping shit there. I don't know.
Oh man,
I have no idea. I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think they would let objects persist in your office when it's reloading it. Between other levels, I'm guessing your GEP gun has gone into the bit bucket.
So do you? Do you never return to UNATCO?
I don't. I mean, you do for a while. I mean,
if I go back even once, I can choose what I carry.
If that bitch in her office who is mean to me, if all her pots that I smashed have grown back.
Yeah, I think we all got yelled at for going into the ladies' room because that's what happens when you're a thorough explorer.
I definitely.
And then there's like a puzzle later that involves you having to go into the ladies' room. So they're like,
oh, really?
They're like punishing you for the same shit that you have to do later.
I just wanted to know how come the ladies' room has a potted plant and the men's room doesn't. That's sexist.
That's pretty common for women's ladies' room.
Stole their potted plant for the men, and I put a corpse on the ladies' room sink.
Where'd you get a corpse?
It was outside.
Oh, okay.
You can carry them quite a ways. I didn't like getting yelled at in the ladies' room, and I had a recent save, so I just threw a couple grenades in there. And I think she's immortal because she took a couple grenades like right in the face and just was like, "Ow!"
I mean, no matter how well hidden you are, she never pees.
I love a game with good asshole physics.
I don't know. Does she shit? Like, is that
not what I meant by that? But.
I'm the stealth aspects of it are pretty enjoyable. They seem a little unrealistic, but
I hate stealth games because what I really don't like is like, all right, I'm gonna literally just sit here doing nothing for a minute so I can figure out where this guy's walking and then do nothing for another 45 seconds.
I wish headshots did more damage than they seem to do.
Huh. Maybe you just need to level up snipers.
Maybe
sniper rifle.
Does that affect damage? I was under the impression it was just accuracy.
I don't know.
It just affect the wobble.
Yeah.
But maybe that would make it better. Maybe if you hit them in the middle of the head, it's better.
Yeah. Maybe I need a better rifle.
If you find a lot of hidden rooms, there's often a lot more weapon mods in there.
Yeah.
So, like, I've upgraded my sniper rifle 5 or 6 times now.
Ah.
So it's pretty accurate.
You do find a lot of stuff and it's rough because you find a lot of stuff and your inventory is super limited.
Yeah.
Especially if you have, like, a GEP gun and a
flamethrower.
Yeah.
Those are both 8 slot weapons, which is a lot of slots when
I
you have like
a lot of 40s on the floor of the quartermaster.
Oh, so sad.
Pile of flares.
Yeah, I have a pile of flares, and if I can ever go back to my office, I have a pile of flares as tall as I am.
Set them off all at once.
The inventory stuff has been a little annoying, but it's not that bad. I will often stealth by guys unless they are carrying a crossbow weapon, in which case I will make an effort to stun them so I can get more trank darts.
Those track darts just don't seem very effective.
It takes a long time.
So you might as well just kill the guy.
So I am taking the exact opposite tack as Zach. I am playing the game. I'm trying to kill nobody. So you can stealth by most people, and
I'm taking
you can
sort of
trank
the
or
middle
zap
of the road where
most people.
I will not kill a guy if it seems like I don't have to. But if that dude,
if he's in your
see
way,
me, yeah, he's going down.
Yeah, I mean, I can see both options. I will let people that are on my side kill people and then loot their bodies. That works pretty well.
You know what I found very satisfying was disabling the gas grenades on the upper level of the Statue of Liberty and then using them to kill the guards.
Do gas grenades kill people? Because I just remember throwing one and having them cough for a couple of minutes.
They kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I definitely have had one guy. Both times I used them, they killed one guy, and the other guy only took one shot from my pistol before he went down.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I tranked both of those guys.
Pretty good game. Lots of tunnels between places. Yeah. Lots of shortcuts.
Multiple.
I wish I hadn't wasted that lockpick.
Multiple routes.
Lot of save scumming.
Lots of keypads that you can use to do something, or like use a multi-tool to get past it, or whatever.
Yeah.
The multiple solutions to most problems is pretty satisfying.
Yeah. It really makes me want to play System Shock 2.
No.
Yeah.
But I don't know how.
Yeah.
Someday somebody will.
I watched an LP of it.
I don't remember. I didn't know that there were first-person shooters that were like this.
Yeah.
I think, mm-hmm. And I think that this is kind of exciting.
Whichever one of the Thief games was the best one.
Was it not the original Thief?
We should do that. We should try and do that. There were two or three of them. Yeah.
Yeah, there were two or three, and I don't know which one is regarded as the best.
It was. I think I will hate it, and you guys probably really like it because it's all stealth. You know.
You know, this kind of makes me want to. They're doing. They're doing the I don't know if it's a revision or not, but they're re-releasing Metal Gear Solid 3 for the 3DS. And I was not previously interested in it, but the amount that I'm enjoying the stealth in this is making me more interested.
Huh. Are they going to call it Metal Gear Solid 3DS?
I can't say no. Okay. I don't know.
Oh man, are they going to re-release Star Control 3 as Star Control 3DS?
Oh.
Star Control 3 was kind of bad.
Was it?
Compared to two.
Was it not the same guys?
No, it was not the same guys.
Yeah.
So
play some more Deus Ex.
Pretty fun, yeah. I'm gonna. You should too, listeners.
Yeah, and then we should talk about it on the forums.
Yeah. Do it. That one guy in the forums was giving away his copy.
Yeah, actually, that's nice. A good point. If like, it might have already passed, but...
Grassroots.
But if you hear this and then use your time machine, you might be able to go back in time and
he's giving it away to the people who send him the most grass and the most rusted roots CDs.
Yeah.
Rusted root CDs.
Tin roots.
The root.
Rusted.
Hey guys, how about a short reader mail segment?
Sure.
Bobulus says, you guys talked a lot about Star Control 2, which is a game I never got the chance to play. I tried loading up the Urquan Masters and just playing it, but I got really lost and ran out of time. Then I tried following a guide, but the pace it set was brutal. What's your recommended way to understand the game other than playing it and dying 100 times, which I don't have time for?
100 times seems excessive. I definitely played it for like a couple hours and was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then I restarted and felt a lot better on my second playthrough, I think. But...
I mean, if you don't take care of the Slylandro early enough, that is just your sort of timer, right? There are some other sort of doomsday timers, but you gotta fuck around a lot before you do it.
The first time I played, and I didn't really think of it as cheating at the time, but it totally was someone had given me a giant, like, you know, 5-foot by 5-foot map of the system, of like the galaxy or whatever,
like all the mineral rich worlds were on it.
So I knew where everything was, and so that made playing a lot more fun for me. And so I might consider, if you're having a bunch of trouble, just getting a map might make all the difference. And it didn't take away for me, the joy of playing by any means. Like, I still think it's just awesome. So, you know, and maybe if I hadn't had the map, I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. I don't know.
I mean, just exploring is kind of fun, but it's dissatisfying when you know that it's like, well, okay.
Because there are
I would be better
hundreds
off
of worlds
reloading my game than continuing to play because yeah. I burned most of the fuel that I had left trying to find stuff to sell to get more fuel.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, it is a game that is, compared to like Starflight, right, which was definitely a spiritual predecessor of it. Starflight gives you like no direction at all. It's fucking crazy. And all the worlds are like fractally generated, so there's not even any sense to the way that they're laid out.
Huh.
Like the way that, you know, you never know where the mineral-rich worlds are going to be, right?
Wow.
There's really nothing. I mean, there might be rules to it that I don't know. Starflight is an interesting game. I don't think I would recommend that anyone play it, but like I'm really glad that I played it when I was a kid before I got curmudgeonly.
Sure.
I don't know. You know, I really enjoyed Star Control 2, and I had extremely fond memories of it, even though I didn't really get anywhere on it. And then a couple years ago, I played through the Urquan Masters with a walkthrough. And I used the walkthrough as like a, you know, I would do a step on the walkthrough, and then I would go fuck around for a while, and then I would do the next step on the walkthrough, and then I would go fuck around for a while. And I finally beat it, which I had never done before. And it was cool. I'm glad that I did it.
Yeah, I was having a hard time getting the music to play in the version that I was playing or whatever, or maybe the audio pack that they had added. And so I was having tough time with the most recent Urquan Masters stuff.
A couple people wrote in and asked us, let's see. One is Gregory Black writes. Andrew? Whose name is Gregory Black writes. This was from when he was still in the Pixies, and his name was just Black Greg.
Right.
I recently obtained a Nintendo DS, having largely ignored the platform for its entire run. Any must plays? Well, I feel like I've read this before, actually. We haven't done this before, have we?
Why don't you give a couple answers, and I'm going to go get my wallet of DS games and see what I've got in there.
The Castlevania games, the absolute must plays for me are Portrait of Ruin and Dawn of Sorrow.
Yeah, those two are great.
Order of Ecclesia is okay.
It's not as fun as the others, but it's
the
it's
weakest,
good.
Definitely. Yeah, Joel also wrote, you guys got a DS or a 3DS or a DS Lite or something like that? Could you give me some game recommendations? My 3DS is lonely, so I thought some regular DS games might cheer it up.
I really liked Rocket Slime.
Yeah, Rocket Slime. Rocket Slime is great, really, and nobody else will tell you about that.
Yeah, Rocket Slime was great. What was the subtitle on the Might and Magic?
Oh, Clash of Heroes.
Clash of Heroes.
That has recently been released as like an Xbox Live Arcade game, and has gotten not a ton of attention. It has gotten talked about on a podcast that I listened to once.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Might and Magic Clash of Heroes is cool. It's like a good version of Puzzle Quest. Puzzle Quest is also good on the DS.
Puzzle Quest is good. The
new Super Mario Brothers, I enjoyed.
Yeah, and the Mario and Luigi ones.
Bowser Inside Story.
Yeah, Bowser's Inside Story was the most recent one and probably the best of the series. Although I enjoyed all of them.
I only got the Bowser's Inside Story.
If you want like a really hardcore RPG, Shin Megami Tensei. What's it was the subtitle on this one? Strange Journey.
Okay.
Strange Journey is good.
Watching you try to read that.
It's like dark blue on black.
If you hate yourself, you can play the Etrian Odyssey games.
Oh, yeah, it's a similar game, but Strange Journey is a lot more forgiving. If you want a good puzzle, Picross 3D is really awesome.
I keep intending to buy that, actually.
Yeah,
I would like to play it.
Yeah.
I liked...
Professor Layton.
Professor Layton is good. Yeah. I really enjoy the all of the games in the Phoenix Wright series.
Oh, boy.
That's the procedural court drama.
Yeah. It's like point and click adventures.
It's like figuring out enough evidence on somebody and then accusing them of crimes.
Yeah. Barely legal point and click adventure.
Yeah. What else?
Oh, speaking of which, there's that Witch Toucher game.
There's got to be a couple others that aren't in a major series that have been fun.
I played
I'm gonna go grab my stack.
Magical Star Sign.
Yeah.
Which was weird. I mean, it was just this weird one-off RPG, but I liked it enough to beat it, which
there's,
is unusual for me.
There's a sort of point-and-click slash visual novel kind of thing called Hotel Dusk that is pretty good if you're interested in that sort of thing. I mean, the puzzles are very basic to near trivial, but the art style is really keen and the story is pretty good.
I should have looked at my shelf before I did this. Did you find something? You look like you found something.
Well, no.
Actually, Contact is a good RPG.
We talked about most of them. From the Abyss was a game that you had gotten that was kind of fun. It was like a... what was it called? It was like a...
I don't remember that at all.
You got it, didn't like it a bunch. I thought it was kind of cool looking, so I got it and played through it. It was like, as I recall, it was like RPG.
From the Abyss?
I thought so.
Oh, there's a really good music rhythm game. Well,
the cheerleader game?
Yeah, there's Elite Beat Agents is the American version. I prefer the Japanese version, which was called Os Tatake Owendon, which you would have to import. But it's a completely different plot and story, and I thought was a lot funnier than the American version. And you don't have to be able to read Japanese or anything, because it's all comic book style, so you can kind of tell what's going on.
Like if blood sprays out of somebody's nose, it's
yeah, you know they've
horny.
Got a boner. Yeah.
Yeah. Into the Abyss, maybe, instead of From the Abyss?
I don't have any idea what you're talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
I mean, that either...
Some,
I recognize
some preposition,
that title,
the
and
abyss.
It could be either one of those, but I don't remember what game that is.
Guitar Hero World Tour was okay, but gave me incredible
finger
cramps.
That particular peripheral. And
which
it
comes with.
Yeah.
You buy it.
But also it won't work in a 3DS if you're playing DS.
Oh, right.
3DS.
That's a good point.
There's one that came out recently by the guys that did... Phoenix Wright called Ghost Trick, which is kind of interesting. I never got around to finishing it. I got distracted.
I think you're confusing me with somebody else because I've never seen this game before.
Okay, it has
From the Abyss. It has like an anime elf
on the cover,
on
which
the
is
cover, which
why
is
why
what,
I know about it.
Which is what that's the criteria that usually means I'm gonna like a DS.
You
game,
own a copy of it.
I don't think that I own a copy of it.
Okay.
I've never seen this before in my life.
Is it possible that I owned a copy of it and loaned it to you because it had an anime elf on the cover? Let me look.
Maybe, and I just forgot about it. It's not really an anime elf. It's like an anime special forces whore. I do not remember this at all, man.
So familiar.
I have so few DS games. I'm pretty sure that... I mean, it was definitely one of the two of you.
If you don't enjoy understanding what the fuck is going on, The World Ends With You is a pretty good game.
Yeah, I mean, everybody seems to... That got such good reviews and everything, I just couldn't get into it. It was...
Mystifying?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was... Yeah. I forget. There was, I think, on the...
Dragon Quest IX is pretty good.
Yeah, that is a single player RPG that up whose ass you can disappear for quite a while.
Yeah,
the Rocket Slime is in that universe, right?
Yeah.
So that's like
Rocket Slime.
Rocket Slime was so good.
Man, Rocket Slime was fun.
You should
definitely pick that one up.
Have you seen the screenshots of the sequel?
No,
it's all pirate ships this
time.
Neat.
Yeah, this one was all tanks.
Yeah.
For whatever
big
reason.
Big tanks, and you are inside the tank throwing shit into the gun hole.
Yeah.
It's so weird why this is a fun game.
It is weird, but it's just...
It is a lot of fun.
Very, like, well-designed as an RPG. It's
very
got
satisfying.
Just enough going... There's, you get a bunch of different things and can carry them around.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I don't know, man.
Yep.
Fun. And
there's alchemy.
Yep. You convert things at random into other things.
Yeah.
Good game. Okay. Do we have other reader mail questions, or should I think we're getting close to time, man. We'll save what we got. Hey, if somebody wanted to send us a reader mail question, how would they send us a reader mail question, Kevin?
Well, they could do it by several different options. You could get us on Twitter at VGHotDog. You could email us at VGHotDog@gmail.com, or you could find us on our website, which links to our forums, which is videogameshotdog.com.
And it seems like we got a fairly high, like sort of a crazy high number of downloads on the last episode for the amount of time that it's been. So sounds like you're telling your friends. Thank you.
Yeah, that is much appreciated.
It means a lot to us.
Pimping us out on your blog or your Facebooks or whatever is cool.
And giving us some star points for the iTunes leaderboard.
Yeah, that'd be cool too.
Yeah.
Some ratings.
Give us a review. Say, I like these guys' style. But be sure you put the apostrophe in the right place.
Or you don't like these guys' style, but you listen to us every week anyway.
All right. Well, do you guys have any parting shots, or are we just going to say thank you and good night?
Have a good week, everybody.
I agree with them.